6 months ago, when we wished everyone a very happy new year, who would have thought that the year 2020 would be so dramatically changed in what we'd all expected? And changed in so many ways, changed throughout the world, everyone's life pretty well affected quite dramatically by these changes, and all by a virus so small that you could put millions on top of the head of a pin. And now, as we face the future with the uncertainties that arise, as we are able to do more that we didn't used to be allowed to do, there are so many uncertainties. But I don't want to speak about uncertainties in the preaching. We know enough about those. I want to remind you about things that are certain, God's certainties, and things that I know to be certain because they are in God's Word. And so I want to read four sections of the Bible, all in the New Testament. And the first one is a very well-known verse in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. My second scripture is in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the most remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to an abortion, he appeared to me also. My third scripture is in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 15. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will beg the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But ye know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you. And finally, earlier in that chapter, chapter 14 still, and verse 1, the first verse of the chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you. For I go to prepare you a place, and if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. I said I wanted to speak about divine certainties, and I believe these four basic Christian certainties need to be before each of us at the moment in these uncertain times. Let's look away from the uncertainties. Let's look to the God of certainties. And so I read first of all about the love of God in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. And there we read in that very well-known verse of the love of God, giving his own only begotten Son, that if you and I believe on him, we may have life eternal. And there is that little word at the beginning of the section I've read, God so loved the world. And I love that little word, so. It underlines the fact how great God's love is towards me. And in the preaching we love to tell everyone, that love of God is towards them. It is for them to come and accept that God loves them and has made a way through, that love may be experienced and enjoyed while we're here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I love to think of that great sacrifice on God's part. We think of how much it must have cost God as Jesus was in Gethsemane, facing all those terrible things in advance, when his sweat became as great drops of blood, but when he said that, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And so Jesus goes on to Calvary. We think of the majesty of that pathway of his, when he went to the cross itself. A pathway here spent doing good, a pathway here that affected the lives of so many men, women and children, the path that healed so many. Even the touch of the Lord's garment made one woman well. What a marvellous saviour in the person of Jesus. And so we love to speak of Jesus and his work on Calvary's tree. I turn to my second scripture for that, the one in the first epistle of Corinthians. And there Paul sets out the greatness of the work of Jesus and what he's doing. Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures. You think about the suffering of Jesus on Calvary's tree, the wicked hands that put Jesus there, the way they buffeted him, the way they struck him on the face. They wound that crown of thorns about his head, and even after he was dead, they pierced his side with a spear. Man's hatred to my Saviour there. We can never, never understand how much man's hatred cost our blessed Saviour. But then there was something more. We can look on those hours, or think about those hours of darkness, when Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. When he said to his God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And there was no answer. He went that way alone, but he's borne our sins in his own body on the tree. Do you believe it? Is that where your trust is? I can say that my hope and trust is in a blessed Saviour who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. You can cross out the our sins, and put in my sins. Make it personal to you that he bore my sins in his own body on Calvary's tree. And then I think of those men that came to bury Jesus. I think about two men, Joseph of Arimathea. We know much more about him than perhaps we do about the second one, Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea was a counsellor, but he was a just man. He hadn't agreed to the crucifixion of Jesus, and he comes, and we're told that he begged the body of Jesus. And one of the gospel tells us he actually demanded the body of Jesus and took it down from the cross. And I've been thinking a little bit about that service that they did for Jesus. How difficult it would be to take down that body of Jesus, to remove those nails from his hands and feet. And Nicodemus comes in, a man who had brought a huge quantity of spices, myrrh and aloes, to embalm the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of those men looking on the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the marks of the nails in his hands and feet. The spear pierced its side, as we sometimes sing of. Then there was the face more marred than any man, and the head with the marks of the thorns. That was my Saviour. That was the one that they had come to bury. But we thank God that that's not the end of the gospel story. We know that Jesus rose from among the dead. And Paul in this epistle sets out details of those who had actually seen Jesus in resurrection. Not just one or two, but at one stage he appeared to above 500 brethren at once. There would have been assurance in those times that Jesus was not dead, that he was alive. He had risen from among the dead. He had been raised by the glory of the Father. Jesus was there, and he is now a Saviour, a living Saviour. He's available for me and available for you. Will you take advantage of him? Will you accept that he's borne your sins in his own body on the tree? Maybe you've got to accept that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as I look around, I see the truth of that. I can't deny it for myself. Maybe if you think a little while, you'll accept that you too are also a sinner and need a Saviour. And I would beg you to consider Jesus and what he's done for you in the uncertain times of which we have already spoken. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Tell Jesus that you're a sinner. You want him to be your own personal Saviour. You want him to come into your life, and you want him to stay there and to be your own personal Saviour and Lord and friend. The third certainty that I wanted to refer to was in the Gospel according to John and chapter 14. And there John speaks, or he quotes the Lord's words about sending another Comforter, one that would be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. And I think of that as a wonderful thing, that in the absence of Christ, he's gone up to glory, his work completed, he's gone to glory. But now he sent the Spirit, or the Father has sent the Spirit to be with us in the absence of Jesus. In one place, he even says that it's better for you that I go away. And I think, in a little sense, I can understand that. The Lord Jesus took the limitations of manhood when he came here. He could only be in one place at any one time. The Spirit is available wherever you are, to whoever needs his help. And we should never forget that it's the Spirit of God, but God himself. How great that gift is. How great God's love, in that he would send one of the persons of the Godhead to be here, to indwell every believer, to help us while we're here, to be here in a way that's pleasing to Jesus. What a thing that is, to walk here, showing the Spirit of Jesus, showing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that we may be pleasing to God while we're here. Then earlier in that chapter, at the beginning of chapter 14, he refers to, this is Jesus again speaking, I go to prepare you a place, and if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. Now that's a lovely thing, that Jesus has gone on high to prepare a place for me and for you in heaven with him. All those things need to be thought about. In heaven, with him, a place for me and for you. So the Lord is coming again. What a wonderful moment it will be when we hear that shout and are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so we're told, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. Is that your hope? Is that my hope? Or is everything grounded by the uncertainties of life down here? Look above and see what Jesus has gone to prepare for you. Enjoy the Spirit's company while you are here. I want to just read a few lines from a hymn entitled The Stranger of Galilee. This stranger of Galilee, he showed me his hand and his riven side, and he whispered, "It was for thee." My burden fell off at the pierced feet of the stranger from Galilee. I heard him speak peace to the angry waves of that turbulent, raging sea, and lo, at his word are the waters stilled, the stranger of Galilee. A peaceful, a quiet, and holy calm now and ever abides with me. He holdeth my life in his mighty hands, this stranger of Galilee. Well, that's the one we want you to know. A stranger of Galilee when he was here, but the one who is our Jesus, my Jesus, the one who's died to save me. And I want you to consider his love towards you and God's love towards you afresh today, that you might consider what God has allowed, that Jesus should die, that men should take his life from him. But in that work on Calvary, all my sins were borne and are gone forever. I can enjoy that peace that that hymn writer speaks about. A peaceful, quiet and holy calm. I can enjoy that in the midst of these uncertain and turbulent times. I can do it because Jesus has died for me. And I want you to enjoy that same assurance and peace today. And it comes through putting your trust in what Jesus has done. As we've said before, you have to own that you're a sinner. Tell Jesus that you've sinned against him, that you want him to be your own personal saviour, and give him a place in your heart. Tell him that you want him to take over your life, to take care of you. He holdeth my life in his mighty hands, this stranger of Galilee. Well, that's the one that we present in the gospel, the one who's being presented in so many places in the gospel. Just one glad tidings, God's glad tidings, concerning his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want you to accept it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and find the peace and joy of being a believer. Will you not do that today to accept him? Will you not come to Jesus and own you're a sinner? What's holding you back? Is there any alternative? God has no alternative to offer you. The work has been done by Jesus, and your opportunity this evening is to accept that work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Those words were spoken so many years ago, but over the years, so many have found the truth of them and have found peace with God. And today we want you to have that same assurance for yourself, that there are no questions, further questions to be raised by God, because you can, as the hymn says again, point to the atoning blood and say, "That made my peace with God." May you accept the word today and believe on Jesus for his name's sake.